We just finished up a message series entitled Spiritual Roadblocks, right? You know, we talk about road construction this time of the year. None of us like it, but we all love the finished product. And in that, we talked about different spiritual roadblocks that we can encounter in life. You know, different things that can trip us up. And we talked about how it's better to take care of things when they're small, right? It's better to seal a crack in the pavement than to wait until there's a gaping pothole that's causing all kinds of damage. And it's no different in our spiritual lives. You know, we want Jesus to do that resurrection work in our lives, and he wants to do it before it's the only option left, right? Isn't that how we have a tendency to do it, you know, as people? We wait until there's no other option but God. But God wants a healthy, whole church to represent him, a healthy, whole body. And so we learned about, different work that God wants to do, different construction work that God wants to do in our lives. We discussed things, such as the love for things of the world. We talk about like fleshly cravings. We talk about different circumstances that can cause discouragement, how those are different spiritual roadblocks. However, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about what happens when the hazards that we face are not external. They're not out there in life that we stumble into. What do we do when the roadblocks that we're encountering, those hazards are in our back seat, right? We're carrying them around with us. Even worse, what if those hazardous materials in our lives are within our own skin? They're our own selves. Aren't we our own worst enemies sometimes? Road construction won't do a bit of good for us because it's not really the things out there in the world that are tripping us up, but rather we're getting tripped up on things that are inside of our lives. And of course, we carry that wherever we go. So if you find that some issues in your life just keep popping up, these common issues just keep popping up. They pop up whether you're around your family, whether you're around your friends, whether you're around your coworkers, classmates. Even when you're alone, you find them popping up. Maybe you've tried changing jobs. You've tried changing schools. You've tried changing neighborhoods. You may have even tried changing spouses, right? But you find that same issue just keeps popping up. That's what our culture does, right? Well, this ain't working. Toss it out and try something new, right? That's how we're trained and taught to live. But God has a better way for us to live, right? Because if that's the case, it might be time to do a little bit of self-examination. You might be claiming and stamping that the world's just your enemy, that it's just people rising up against you because you stand for Jesus, but in reality, it might just be you standing and tripping up yourself in your own way. And if you've noticed those, then we're going to start into a new message series here and learn how to deal with those things in a healthy way.
I'll tell you what's wrong with the world today. All these do-gooders out there trying to fix the world's problems by thinking happy thoughts. It's like I was telling my ex...
So you see sort of the irony in that kind of thinking. You know, a lot of us go around thinking kind of like that guy. We just need to protect ourselves from the rest of the world, right? It's everything out there. That's the problem. But you see what happens when you live that way, right? You don't change at all. You're not impacted by anything. That guy can't even get a shower and get clean, right? I bet it's that shower head's fault. I just need to get a new one. Not enough pressure, right? Always something else. But rarely do we, like Stan said this morning, look at the man in the mirror, right? Isn't that what Michael Jackson taught us? Let's go back to that wisdom, the man in the mirror. And so we're going to do some self-reflection. It's not fun. It's painful, but it's healthy. It's healthy. It's healthy to do. By definition, if something is toxic, it's capable of causing serious debilitation or even death, right? If something is toxic, it's capable of causing serious debilitation or even death. And what do we know in our spiritual lives? What causes death? Anybody know? Everyone's afraid to say it in church. Sin, all right? Sin causes death. Sin leads to death. Sin is toxic. what we have a tendency to do as a church, especially in the United States, our church culture, is we label certain sins, you know, as being sins, and we're okay with some sins in our life. Like gluttony, it's not a sin that's ever talked about in the church. We always talk about homosexuality. It's in that list where you don't enter the kingdom of heaven. I think the church needs to wake up and read the rest of that list because we're very guilty, very, very guilty of other things that are in that list. But we brush them under the rug, right? Those toxic things we need to cleanse ourselves of in our life. And we're going to talk about some of those things. This just blew my mind whenever Jesus revealed it to me. It's nothing new. All of us are aware of it, but just the way that it came across kind of blew my mind. The worst spiritual condition that can exist in a person's life, it's my opinion was not his. My thoughts were not Jesus' thoughts in this matter. The worst spiritual condition that can exist isn't the atheist out there denying the very existence of God, living their life the way that they want, accountable to nobody or nothing, right? Nor is the worst spiritual condition even that Satanist out there worshiping our enemy and doing everything they can to destroy the work of, you know, God, right? Saying that you can do good without Jesus. That's basically what the Satanist church is. It looks like a very good organization. They do a lot of good works, believe it or not. The Church of Satan is real. It exists. They're actually doing in-school programs, and they do a lot of good things. They look like Christians from the outside. How easily we're deceived. But even that's not the worst spiritual condition, even to be worshiping our enemy. In fact, Jesus said himself that he has an easier time dealing with that than dealing with most of us. He's okay with them. He's not okay with us. He has an easier time dealing with that spiritual reality than dealing with our spiritual reality. And according to his own words, Jesus considers the worst spiritual condition to be a passionless Christian who doesn't even realize their own condition. They're unaware of themselves. They're not self-aware. They're not aware of their state. And Jesus said this in Revelation chapter 3. We've all quoted it. We say it. He said, "I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and don't need a thing." Now, in the book of James, that's spiritual maturity. Right? We talked about that last week, consider it pure joy, you know, that perseverance does its work and makes us complete, lacking nothing. People think they're spiritually mature. They think they've achieved some. Some of us here in the church, we refuse to come to the altar and repent because we don't think we have anything to repent of. Woo! If that's not a red flag for your condition, you don't know who Jesus is. You've never been in God's presence. Because every person that I've seen, even the most holy and righteous of people who have stepped in the presence of God, they were on their face crying out for forgiveness. Jesus said that they say this about themselves. They're rich, they're acquired wealth, they don't need a thing. They're spiritually mature. Jesus said, "But you do not realize that you are wretched. You're pitiful. You're poor. You're blind. And you're naked." And so, this week we're starting this message series, Toxic, where we're going to learn about some toxic things that can exist in our life that God wants to heal us and cleanse us of. He's the only one that can do it. Jesus is the only one that can heal us of this condition. Because the reality is, every day we're exposed to toxins while we're out there in the world. We just are. Every single day of our lives, even if you're all by yourself, you're exposed to yourself. So, you know, there's some toxins that can seep in. But these toxins have a tendency to seep into the core of who we are. These toxins can take root in our lives, and we don't even know it. We're not even aware of it, right? Because, you know, we think we're spiritually rich, but those toxins have made us spiritually wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. And let's face it, it's just awkward. I don't know if you've ever encountered this before or not. Hopefully you haven't. But if somebody is unaware of themselves, let me think. I mean, obviously Jesus used a pretty bad example. Somebody just walks in here nude, sits down and starts, you know, sitting in the middle of the service. A little awkward for everybody, right? Especially if they don't know they're naked. But we've all had conditions, you know, issues like that. Like maybe someone's breath smelled and they didn't know it. It was just awkward for everybody, right? Maybe they tucked in their shirt and their underwear and it was all sticking out. I won't I'll spare you guys that scene, but, you know, they have no idea, you know? This woman's walking around, her dress is tucked into her panties, and she has no idea she's mooning everybody, you know? No clue. It's kind of embarrassing. It's not embarrassing for her, right? Because she's unaware of it, but it's embarrassing for everyone else. As believers, so often that's our condition. We think we're good. We think we're spiritually mature. We think we're all right with Jesus. But toxins have infected us, and we are anything but. And throughout this year, we're going to learn about how to identify those things in our own lives and how to remedy them, how to take care of them. We're going to cover these different areas of topics. We're going to cover toxic thoughts, that's today, toxic influences, toxic relationships, toxic words, and the last one's toxic religion. A lot of what we call Christianity is just religion that Jesus despises. So we're going to talk about those things. Because the reality is some toxins have a real quick effect, right? I mean, you spill, you get a hold of some real chlorine gas, not like the chlorine you put in your pool, and your skin's exposed to that, you know it immediately. You're burned, you're in pain, it's awful, right? Other toxins, maybe lead in your drinking water, you drink it for years. You have no idea that you've been infected by this until the symptoms start to pop up, right? And our enemy is good. He knew that if he just sat as a little, a little demon on our shoulder with his pitchfork and he told us to do something that we know is wrong, I mean, you know, that'd be so easy just to flick him off. So instead, he infects us with toxins, and they're not the ones that are quick acting, because we'll recognize those and deny those. But what we have a tendency to do is to accept these toxins from our enemy that seep into the core of who we are. We don't even know it, completely unaware, until it's too late. And so this week we're confronting the hazard of toxic thoughts. Most of our life issues stem from our thought life. It's just a reality. It's the way we were created. Because our thoughts, they grow in our lives, they root down deep, and they eventually grow fruit, right? That's what Galatians 5 teaches us to look for. What are the fruits of those things that are in our lives as they come forth? But when someone does something outrageously stupid, you've probably all seen the, hold my beer, memes out there on the internet. Somebody does something outrageously stupid, what is the first thing that you ask? What were you thinking? I know Nate's heard me say it 100 times and he goes and does something stupid, right? What were you thinking? That's usually what we ask, right? Not what are you doing? Where did you get that from? It's what were you thinking? It's the thoughts that eventually come out as our actions, right? Our thoughts, they're stewing and brewing nonstop inside of us. Nonstop inside of us. We think constantly, even when we're asleep. But what we often don't realize or recognize is that we actually have a degree of control in our thought life. And so we most of us know this, verse. We've probably memorized it. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth so that they could deal with some of the issues they were having in their lives. And he said, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Right? That's not true about a lot of Christians. A lot of people fight just like the world fights. It's a shame. It should not be the case. In verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. Did that say we engage in arguments? We argue with people, we fight with people. No, in fact, Paul taught Timothy that we should have nothing to do with stupid and foolish arguments. We demolish arguments. We don't engage in them. And we demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and we make it obedient to Christ. The reality is, if you're able to steer your mind, you're able to steer your whole life. You're able to set the course of your whole life. And con artists know this very well, right? Those smooth talkers that can come in, they know that if they can get inside your head and control your thoughts, that they've got you. You're basically their pawn. You'll do whatever they want you to. And God's word teaches us the same truth. But if we want to win the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in, we have to start with the battlefield of our mind. We've got to start gaining some victories, not out there, but right here inside my own head. That's where the battle is won. And that's where the battle is. It gets the victory, right? We don't want our enemy to con us. We don't want his toxins to seep deep down into our thought life so that he's just got full control. All he has to do is, and then you're set, right? Now, the reality is not every thought belongs in our heads. Some of them, they need this done. Some of them need ran down, tackled to the ground. Oh, yeah, it just never works out well. Arrested and kicked out of there, right? Some thoughts, we need to start doing this kind of stuff too. Some thoughts should be afraid of us, right? Because not every thought's your own. And not every thought belongs there. Sometimes we need to kick those things out, right? Because we've heard it before. As a person thinks, so is he, right? Yeah, exactly. From the Proverbs. As a person thinks, so is he. And I want to take that even a step farther, that as a person thinks of another, so they are. If I think someone's a thief, I'm going to be looking for them to steal things. And guaranteed, I'm going to see something, I'm going to blame them for it, right? I'm going to expect them to steal. If I think someone's dishonest, I'm going to expect them to lie. I'm going to expect every word out of their mouths to be a lie. If I think someone's lazy, then I'm going to expect them to let me down every time, you know? I can't trust them with that because they're just going to let me down, right? So do you see how toxic these thoughts are? I'm sorry, I skipped a slide. Because these thoughts, what do? What just happened in those scenarios? We are called to be a priesthood. We are called to be a prophetic people. You can't be a prophetic person if you're always believing the worst about people. You just can't be. Well, you can be, but you're on the wrong team, right? That's not the love of God. That is not who God is. That is not what prophecy is. The world can prophesy to that degree. I can see all the nasty stuff in everybody and call it out. I can expect nothing more of them. In fact, I can expect worse of them, right? Anybody can do that. It takes a person of God. It takes the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to see the gold that God has placed within somebody, by the way, created in His image, and to call those things out. Call them out of that person that they are and into the destiny that God has for them. That's what prophecy is all about. But we can't do that if we think these things toward people. In New Hope Assembly of God, that is why our church is dying, because you ought to hear the nasty thoughts that we think of people out in the world. You ought to hear the nasty thoughts that we think about each other. There's no love. God's not going to grow that. God's going to snuff it out and kill it, because it is a cancer in His body. But no longer, right? No longer. But think about things like this that we so often think.
Do you ever wonder what people are really thinking about?
I'm feeling lost today. I tried to find my way back, but the landscape has changed, and now I'm miles away from where I belong.
It's so easy to get lost in our negative thoughts. I'll never be good enough. My life doesn't matter. I hate the way I look. I can't do it all. I'll always be miserable. God just doesn't care about me. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. It really is the thought that counts.
I'm so
And so, I don't want any of us, myself included, to be in that place that Jesus talked about, lukewarm. He just wants to spit us out, either hot or cold. So often this begins in our thought life. Where are our thoughts? So many of us have been so dreadfully impacted by the world, yet we think we're mature Christians. But the reality is we don't even treat each other the way we would want to be treated. We certainly don't talk about each other the way we'd want someone to talk about us. Toxic, nasty stuff that steals, kills, and destroys, yet we claim to be a child of God, right with Him. We've got to get our thought lives right. And so here's some key phrases that indicate that the toxic level of our thoughts are in the red zone. They're through the roof. You heard some of them in the video, right? You know, there are some key phrases. And these phrases, I liken them to like hand grenades. Our phrases never stay in our thought life, right? They often come flying out our mouth. We're going to talk about that at a later time. But when we think these things, these toxic thoughts, they're like hand grenades. They don't just hurt us. They hurt everybody in the general vicinity. And I'm telling you, you don't have to say them for them to have an impact on the people around you, right? Dad walks home and he's in a bad mood. Whew, guess what? That living room just blew up. Everybody's on end the rest of the night, right? Right? Got to walk on eggshells. Toxic thoughts that are like hand grenades. They affect everybody you're around. Because it just doesn't go off once. Those toxic thoughts, everywhere you go, it has that toxic influence. It's like you're radioactive, you know? These thoughts, they hurt not only ourselves, which of course God's concerned about number one, but he hurts the people around us. These phrases are things like, there they go again. I'll never be good enough. No matter what I do, it's just never enough. Never right, never going to be good enough. You know, seriously, what is their problem? What are they thinking anyways, right? Or the I'm too quiet, I'm too shy, I'm too bold, I'm too brave, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too ugly, I'm too whatever. Why do we always think so much of ourselves, right? Phrases like, man, you keep your eye on that one, you keep your eye on that one, you know? Did you hear what happened to that, you know, what they've done? Toxic thoughts. And this is like a curse word in our household. I can't. And usually it's things like, hey, can you pick that up for me? I just can't. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I'm too, right? But I can't. If God's called you to do it, you can do it. I can't. Things like, you know, oh, you see someone in Walmart and you walk the other aisle like, oh boy, there they are, you know, things like that. Here's another debilitating toxic thought. Two little words. What if? Yeah, but what if that? And what if this? And what if they think that? And what if... debilitating, toxic thought. The enemy loves that question. It'll cripple you. What if? Phrases like, well, things are just never going to change. You know, they're always going to be that way. You know, or I'm always going to be that way. Or I love this one. That's just who I am. Why do Christians ever say that phrase? That's not who you are. We're all about transformation and change. That's the reason we come here. Because we don't want to be who we are. We want to be better. We want to improve. So don't just say, that's just the way I am and you have to deal with it. I've had people even in leadership say that phrase here, you know. It's nasty, toxic thought. Things like, you know, God's punishing me. Or if somebody compliments you and you're like, no, that's not true. You just called your spouse a liar, right? We talked about this in premarital counseling the other day, you know. I'm like, man, I compliment my wife for like 20 years straight. But her coworker says your arms are a little flabby. Gone. Gone. She doesn't believe a word I say now. I know you say that, but no. I know the truth now, right? Isn't that the way we... One thought's all it takes, right? Okay, anyways. Now, similar to these hand grenades, and I could go on and on and on about them. These are toxic hand grenades. Are also these toxic landmines that have been placed in our minds, right? I'm sorry, I lost Jan again. We know that they exist when we think... I love that this is what... I'm sorry. I shouldn't. Toxic landmines. These things are planted on you, and you don't know they're there. I'm going to teach you how to tell if they're there or not. When someone walks in the room and you think that they think, and so you need to change what you're thinking and what you're doing and how you're behaving because I know they're thinking this, right? Think, thought. You think somebody's thinking something, and so you change the way you think, and you change the way you act, and you change the way, you know, you get that. Do you guys ever, I know I'm not the only one, right? You got to be so careful around, you got to change who you are around certain people. That's a landmine. That is toxic. Don't let people do that to you. Don't let people put that landmine in your life, right? Because what happens? And sometimes these are not even based on truths. These are all based on perceptions. I think somebody thinks something about me, right? And what happens? All it takes is for that person to look at me. All it takes is for that person to say some phrase. And it just, boom, detonates that thing. Just like that. Yep, I knew it. Absolutely. There they go again, you know? Don't let people have that kind of control in your lives. You know what the Bible calls that? It calls it a foothold, calls it a stronghold, depending on what degree it is. It's of the enemy, right? And we got to kick those things out. Okay, Galatians 5, 13 to 15 says this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, right? We love freedom here at New Hope, right? Freedom! You've been set free! So don't let people put you back in bondage, right? But freedom, why has Jesus set us free? Why has Jesus set us free? And Paul goes on to teach the Galatians here. He said, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. And I love this. I love it when God makes things simple. Because I read through the Old Testament, and I don't want to do half of it. My flesh just doesn't want to do those things. But God simplified it. And he said, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And when you go into any situation, a workplace, I love it. Walk into some of these local businesses. That manager can't figure out why they can't keep employees. But while they're there, what do you hear? Oh, so-and-so called off again. There they go, you know. Now I have to work a double shift and, you know. Walk into a church and listen to the conversation. No wonder it's being destroyed. It's self-imploding, self-destructive when you hear that kind of talk. I can't even put a picture up of what that looks like. I know I've used a lion eating its prey before. You know, Google image search like zombies eating, and you'll get a pretty vivid picture of how God actually sees these behaviors. Biting. I mean, literally, the Word of God says that. You're biting, you're devouring each other. It's too graphic for me to put up on the screen, but it happens here all the time. Biting and devouring people. Feasting on them. It's so nasty. Toxic. Toxic behaviors. I mean, I can't think of anything more descriptive, a more vivid description of toxic thoughts and behavior than this. Biting, devouring, destroying. But when we possess toxic thoughts, it's exactly what is happening. Those toxic thoughts bite, devour, and destroy. They destroy ourselves and who God has called us to be. You can't even measure up to who God says you are. I mean, there should be nothing easier in this life than just being ourselves, right? Toxic thoughts keep us from that. They destroy ourselves, they destroy others, they destroy entire organizations. In any place, any organization at all, when there is bite-backing and grumbling and gossip, it's not headed on a good path. It's headed for destruction. It's just a reality. And of course, that should never, never exist in the body of Christ. The church, the bride of Christ, should never be a part of our vocabulary at all. But it is. It is. And I'm confessing from the top down, right? When we think of others, here's a test on this from what Galatians 3 teaches us here. When we think of others, how do we think of them? Do we think of how we can serve them? Because that's what our freedom was given for, right? To humbly serve one another in love. And again, it teaches us how to do that too. We're going to go into that here in a second. But when we think about other people, do we think about how wrong they are? Do we think about how much they need to change? Do we think about how much they need to grow up? Them. In essence, what are we thinking? They need to bow down and serve my opinion of them. They need to get their lives straight. They need to get their act together, right? We use those kind of phrases. They need to essentially serve your cookie cutter image of who they're supposed to be. See how nasty that is? That's not service. Not in the kingdom of God. Or rather, do we think of serving them and how we can build them up? See, there's such a gray line in this, a fine line, because you see people as they are. It's going to happen. You're going to judge them. It's going to happen. Jesus never said, just don't judge. You got to read the rest of Matthew chapter 7. He said to make a right judgment. Don't judge by mere appearances. God, you know, man looks at to the outward side of a man, but God looks at the heart. We got to make right judgments. He never said, just don't judge. You're going to make a judgment. Okay, judgment's good. When you drive down to the end of the road and you decide that I'm going to turn right, you stop and you see if there's any other vehicles coming. That's good judgment. You don't just haul out there and turn and who cares if anyone's there or not, right? You have to use judgment. There's nothing wrong with making judgment calls. They're good, healthy things. They'll keep you on the path of God, not lead you astray. That's another sermon for another time, though. But anyways, whenever we see who people are, we should also be able to prophetically see the person God created them to be. You see, it's healthy when you see that person can be better. Right, that person can do better. They can live a better life. That's a good thing. But instead of tearing them down for not being that person, we're supposed to be the body of Christ. We're supposed to be Jesus in the flesh. We're supposed to be speaking words of life, words of encouragement. We're supposed to, remember last week, inspire people to courage? We're supposed to be the ones that call them up out of that person they are into the person they're created to be. And you can't do that while you're tearing them to pieces, biting and devouring them for not being something, right? We're supposed to be the ones that walk alongside of them and help them to be a better person, to encourage them and build them up. And listen to last week's message, and if you put that into practice, that's what's going to happen. So I'm not going to preach it again. But we need to question ourselves. When we start thinking about ourselves or other people, we have to learn to question ourselves. Stop that thought. Stop that thought and question it. Okay, the lights and sirens should come on. Woo, you know. Stop that thought and question it and examine it. Is that a thought that you need to be having about yourself or about that other person? Is it in alignment with the Word of God? Very, very often, these toxic thoughts are not, but we let them run rampant in our lives, corrupting who we are, and we don't even realize it. Are the thoughts that we have toward one another loving? Do they bring life or death? Do they build up or do they tear down? Have our thoughts become corrupted and toxic, you know, by the world? Have our thoughts been renewed by the Holy Spirit? Are they Spirit-led? Whenever we think these thoughts, do they truly love as in God's definition and standard? We all know it. I want you to literally, this week and the rest of your life, start arresting your thoughts and running it through these filters. Is this thought doing this? Because Galatians 3, 14, 15 taught us that, right? That we've been set free not to indulge in our flesh and do whatever we want and live however we want. The reason that Jesus set us free is so that we serve one another humbly in love. And so when you're thinking thoughts toward other people, and it applies to yourself as well, run it through that definition of love. This is God's definition of love. Are we being patient with people? Is that thought kind? Be patient with yourselves too, by the way. Give yourself a chance to change. It takes time, right? Be patient. Be kind. Is that thought envious? Is it the green-eyed monster about that other person? Is that really why I think the way I think about them? Are you envious of them? Are you boasting? Right? Are you prideful? And those two kind of go hand in hand. Do you think you're better than other people? Does it honor people? Because if it dishonors, that's something that love doesn't do. Is your thought dishonoring people? Think about that. Is it self-seeking? Am I making this about me? Easily angered. Talk about a tough one, especially as a father with kids going in teen years, you know, not being easily angered. Challenge. But your thoughts ought not to be easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Oh my goodness, you want to talk about that? This is a whole message of its own, and I'm not going to go into it. You know, so often what we call godly wisdom is none other than this. It's just holding people's wrongs against them the rest of their lives, never giving them a chance to change, never giving them a chance to rise up and be any better, right? We call it wisdom of God. We call it Christian love, but it's really not, because love keeps no record of wrongs, no record. Love doesn't delight in evil. We should not. When we see evil things out there and people suffering because of their evil, wicked ways, it shouldn't cause us to rejoice. Love doesn't rejoice or delight in evil. What it rejoices in is with the truth. With truth. And that is where we have such a hard time sometimes. Because we can't separate truth and emotions. So often we have a hard time with that. We can't just be honest and truthful without tying our emotions to it. It always protects. Does this thought protect myself or someone else? Sometimes, yeah, you see someone's being stupid. Love actually does protect them. It does call them out on it, right? It doesn't mean you tear that person apart, but it protects that person. It always trusts. Man, do we have a problem with that in our culture, trusting people. But love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres, and it never fails. Think about God. I wouldn't trust myself with half of my life that God trusts me with. I've only been here for almost 7 years, and I look back and I'm like, that was stupid. How can you treat that person that way? I look back and I see all these mistakes. I mean, I'm like, God, but God trusted me. Why do we have a hard time trusting other people then? Giving them what? The freedom to make mistakes and learn from them. I see as a parent going into teens, that's what we're doing. Okay, we lay out, okay, well, if you do this, we don't want you to do this, but here's the consequences that are going to happen, right? And then sometimes you let them make their own decisions and let them suffer the consequences. It's just part of training, right? And it hurts, but that's what love does. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So, yeah, let's move on. Love, love, love. And here's the hardest thing. Now, I kind of want to put a caution on this, because it's something else that our culture doesn't understand, but our kingdom culture ought to. The kingdom of God understands this. We don't have to be best friends. We don't have to agree on anything. This love, it doesn't even mean that you have to like people, okay? You don't even have to like people. Some people are just always going to rub you the wrong way. Some people are always just going to grate on you. Some people you're just never going to see eye to eye with. And that's by God's divine design in creation. We're all unique and different. And sometimes our differences grate on each other. Those things are still going to exist. However, our thoughts toward each other should not be coated with corrosive toxins because of it. I can disagree with somebody and still love them. I can totally disagree with somebody and still lay down my life for them. I can totally radically disagree with somebody and still keep my love on. It is my choice. And it is my responsibility before Jesus Christ when I stand before Him. Not how they were, but how I was. And how I acted and how I treated people. My thoughts toward people. We don't all have to hold hands and sing kumbaya, but we have to bear with one another in love. You can do all these things and completely disagree with somebody and live a radically different lifestyle. If you want an example of it, take a look at Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. I mean, if there's not a clear picture of how to live that life, there it was. And I love this. Jesus loved everyone. He loved those who opposed Him. And He loved them enough to confront them with truth. Jesus is very confrontational. We don't call this love, but it is. If you really love the way that God loves, we're going to confront one another. And there's going to be a lot of confrontation happening in the upcoming months. And it's going to be uncomfortable, and I hate it, and I don't want to do it. But we got to confront each other when we see these toxins, okay? If my dress is tucked into my panties, I want you guys telling me, okay? I want you to have my back. First of all, what the world are you doing in a dress? Why are you wearing your wife's panties? And, right? Sorry, I had to lighten the mood a little bit. It was getting too rough. But we need each other, right? If I don't see these toxins in my own life, I need you guys to confront me on it. Right? I need that confrontation. And that's what Jesus did. And think about this. What with the people that Jesus caught in what is thought by our church culture today to be the worst of sins, like the woman caught in adultery or the woman that's on her fifth husband, you know? We take a look at how Jesus encountered those women. He confronted them, but He confronted them and extended grace and mercy and forgiveness. They acted in hostility toward who Jesus was and everything that He stands for. Right? And He forgave them. And He loved them. And He empowered them. And He healed them. He didn't agree with what they were doing. And He called sin, sin. But He empowered them to go and to live differently. Right? And with those, I love it. His encounter with those people was always so gracious. You know? Always so gracious. But when you look at how Jesus confronted the religious people, the church people, whose poop didn't stink, right? Who didn't need a physician. They were good to go. They didn't sin, right? They went in prayer and they said, "Gee, God, I thank you that I'm not like this person here," right? Man, the way Jesus confronted them was pretty brutal. Called them sons of hell, called them, you know, broods of vipers. Oh man, it went on and on and on. Jesus didn't act very Christ-like to those people, or did he? He confronted them. That should be a wake-up call to us as a Christian and as a church. Jesus doesn't waste any time. He has Jesus has zero tolerance policy with that kind of baloney in the church, because people ought not be that way. That's why he was so brash with those people. That's why he just called it as it was. Because what he was doing, it's the most loving act, but it doesn't look or feel loving. He was just holding up a mirror and saying, "Look at what you are. You're a whitewashed tomb. You look good on the outside. You look like you're following my commands, but you're dying inside." I'm telling you, it didn't look or feel loving, but it had to break Jesus' heart to confront those people and to show them who they really were. He was telling them, "Look, you got some toxins in your life, and those toxins have destroyed you." And he wasn't saying it to condemn them. He was saying it to them so that they could change, so that they could embrace the new life in him, right? And many people did. Many Pharisees and Sadducees and elders and teachers of the law, they changed their ways and they followed Jesus. Many of them changed. It was a genuine love. And I want to encourage you in this. Even that brash, harsh, confrontational love, what did Jesus do from the cross when those same people nailed him to it? Yeah, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Talk about love. Love that never fails. Okay, so let's go to the good stuff. So we need to confront them. But how do we cleanse ourselves from these toxins? The first step is you got to be aware of them. And that means we got to hold each other accountable. That means we got to confront each other. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to hurt like crazy, right? Ask Megan, who, you know, she dislocated her finger, like, so much that it was completely popped out of the joint, and it was, like, back in the rest. Like, her finger was, like, half the length because it was, like, pushed back in her skin. Ask her if it felt good to put that back in place, you know? Felt better after, though. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to them, and he confronted them with their sin. 2 Corinthians said, "Man, did that hurt me. But you know what? I'm glad that we hurt together for a season, because now you're healthy. Now you're whole and you're complete." It's like taking a Band-Aid. I mean, it's going to be painful for a season, but it's healthy. It is absolutely healthy, you know, for us to do this to each other. So how do we deal with these things? How do we get cleansed? Obviously, Jesus is the only one. So we go to him. First of all, when we have toxic thoughts in our life, just confess them to Jesus and ask forgiveness. I mean, 1 John 1:9 says he is faithful. He's going to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness and cleanse us. He's going to make us holy. He's going to make us pure. He's the only one that can. So first of all, you got to go to Jesus. That's the number one relationship you have to worry about in life. And he's the only one that can do that. That's where we start. All of us go there. Very few of us go through the rest of these steps. Second, confess and ask forgiveness from those that we've exposed our toxins to. If you've been that hand grenade, wherever it's at, here in the church, out in the workplace, out in the community, in your friendship, in your family, you need to go and just fess up and ask forgiveness. And I got to do this with my kids often. "Man, I'm sorry I acted that way. I'm sorry I said those things. They were wrong. I was acting in anger," you know, right? Yeah. We got to confess and ask forgiveness from people. It's so important. Jesus said that if you're going to give your gift on the altar, Becky talked about the altar today, and you remember that there's some sin against somebody, leave it there and go and reconcile. Man, it blows my mind. Because our relationship with God can't be right if our relationship with everyone else is nasty and toxic. It can't be right. Because Jesus said, if you don't love your brother and sister in Christ, whom you can see, how do you think you can love me? What we call love is not love, but what God calls love absolutely is. So, confess and ask forgiveness from the people that we've exposed our toxins. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to things like gossiping and grumbling, it's not just that person you were talking to, it was everybody in earshot too. That's why the Word of God teaches us what? To speak only what is good for encouraging and building other people up according to their needs so that it may what? Benefit those who listen. People are always listening. You never say anything that other people don't overhear. It's important. If you're aware of it, take care of it. Okay? If you're aware of it, take care of it. If you know other people heard your conversation, you just don't need to confess and ask forgiveness from that person. You need to go talk to other people who heard as well. Next, make it right. Make it right. Forgiveness is not the end of the road. The Old Testament and the New Testament talks about this idea, this concept of restitution. If you wrong somebody, don't just ask them to forgive you. Do what you can to make it right. Anywhere. You know, in school, if you missed a homework assignment, go to your teacher. Hey, I'm so sorry. You know, I knew about this assignment. Can I make it up? You know, in the workplace, if you went and you screwed something up, do what you can to make it right. Put in the extra time and don't charge the company for it. Do what you can to make it right. Whatever you can. And it's going to take a sacrifice, but it's going to be worth it. It's essentially what you're doing is you're cleaning up your toxic mess, right? Get out the bounty. That's trying to think of the thicker, quicker, picker upper. Get out the bounty. Clean up your mess that you made. Clean up those toxins, right? Last, this is where we're going to focus, and then I'm going to end the message because I know I'm going a little long here. Guard yourself. Just like a person who goes in to clean up a mess, they got to put on those hazmat suits, you know? Or whenever you go into some atmosphere that there's toxins, you got to wear a respirator, you got to wear goggles, whatever the case might be, we need to guard ourselves from it in the future. Otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to get caught in an infinite loop of steps 1 through 3. You're just going to keep doing it over and over and over and over again. At some point, you got to stop the craziness. Isn't that crazy? I've went through the crazy cycle with God, you know, especially with addictions, you know. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. I'll never do it again. And you know, Becky, I'm so sorry that I did this to you. Please forgive me. I'm never going to do it again. And next day, Jesus, forgive me. I'm never going to, right? You're caught in this loop unless you do what? Guard ourselves. For me, what did that mean? It meant some internet filtering. It meant some, you type in a password for me. I don't know what it is. You know, you tell me, and I'm only going to be on the computer, you know, until I healed in some of those areas. You know, you got to do what you have to do to guard yourself. That takes humility. That takes you swallowing your pride and putting up some guards in place, admitting I'm weak in some areas. You got to just admit that and guard yourself. Proverbs 4:23-27. I'm going to read this from the Common English Version, but, you know, most of us know it in the King James or NIV. It's starting off, and we read this earlier, carefully guard your thoughts. In another translation, it's heart. I'm not going to go into it, but the root Hebrew word, it literally means the core of who you are. That root Hebrew word is just the core of who you are. So it's translated to thoughts, it's translated to mind, it's translated to heart, it's translated a lot of different English words because we don't really have a word for that otherwise, but guard the core of who you are. And of course, this morning we're talking about our thoughts because they are the source of all life. Never tell lies or be deceitful in what you say. Most of us read through that and we go on and on and on. Yeah, I'm you know, generally speaking, an honest person, right? You know, I don't lie to people intentionally. We know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We think we don't lie, but what about scenarios like this? I act nicely to someone to their face, but then when I get in the car and talk to my wife, I start tearing them apart, biting and devouring them. You act nice to somebody, and then you gossip about them behind their backs. There's no truth in that. If you've got an issue with somebody, talk to them about it. Don't talk to anyone else about it. Don't even talk to Jesus about it. Isn't that what he said? Go talk to them first, then come back and talk to me. If you have an issue with somebody, I'm telling you what, your life is going to be so free, so healthy, so peaceful. If you just learn to talk to people face to face, if you have an issue with them, even if it's nothing that they can change, just make them aware of it, right? And that's what Jesus said, right? We're supposed to if our brother or sister offends us, the first thing we're supposed to do is we're supposed to go just between the two of us and share that, confess that. That's where it has to start. So when we're told how to guard ourselves, and it says never tell lies or be deceitful, we got to be honest with ourselves. All of us. I'm telling you, from the top down, I've got these issues in my life that I got to start doing differently. In verse 25, he writes, keep looking straight ahead without turning aside. Know where you're headed, and you'll stay on solid ground. Don't make a mistake by turning to the left or to the right. Guard yourself. Guard yourself. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. We call it the straight path, you know, whatever cliche you want to use, but the way to stay on that path is by keeping your relationship right with other people. And we're going to talk about that later time. But it starts by taking every thought captive. This is where it all starts. If you want to guard yourself, then you've got to start guarding your mind, your thoughts. But how do we know what thoughts to plant and which ones to tackle and throw out? Because here's the deal. If a thought comes in your mind, you can't stop thinking about it. Anybody ever try that? You ever try to stop thinking about something? All of a sudden it consumes your thoughts. You just can't stop thinking about it, right? You just can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop thinking about something. If a thought comes into your mind, it's going to be there, okay? You can't just stop thinking it. What we have to do, the Bible teaches, is a little different. So when we figure out that a thought that we have is toxic, we need to go a step beyond just throwing it out. We have to replace it. We have to replace it. So yeah, I'm teaching you replacement theology. Not Israel in the church, but yeah, in a good way. Toxic thoughts for good thoughts, right? When someone becomes infected with something toxic, the doctor doesn't just put an end to their life, right? It would fix it, wouldn't it? It would fix it, right? No, it cleanses the infection, but they kind of miss the whole point of their job. You know, they're supposed to cleanse and cure somebody from that toxin. They're supposed to bring healing. An infection needs a cure. It needs an antidote to counteract the toxins. If you get bit by a snake, that toxin is the snake's venom. What do you need? You need an anti-venom. You need something to counteract that toxin. And we all need this in our lives. And of course, the cure that God has given us is His Word. That's how we know His thoughts. That's how we know His heart. That's how we know His ways. That's how we know the good stuff that we need to shove into our thought life to push out the bad stuff. It's like pouring more and more pure water into our minds so that that gunky, you know, old used up engine oil does what? Floats to the surface and flows out of our lives. We got to keep filling our thoughts, our hearts, the core of who we are, with more of God, more of His presence, more of His Word. When the Apostle Paul was reminding us again, reminding the church about the need to guard our hearts and thoughts, he included this guide for us to follow. And he starts off with this, and we always quote this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. And bear with me, I'm almost done. But this is the good stuff. You don't want to miss this part. This is the good stuff you need to fill your mind with to get rid of those toxic thoughts. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Toxic thoughts are not gentle. Toxins are not gentle, are they? They're like Clorox being poured into your eyes. It burns. It hurts. But I'd say what, a Christian ought to be marked with gentleness. Isn't it one of the fruits of the Spirit? If you think you're a mature Christian believer and you're still flying into fits of rage, you need to wake up and look in the mirror. I've talked to a lot of your families. Not as mature as we think we are. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, that's what we're doing next week starting, right? Prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, guard your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Wow. Finally, brothers and sisters, in verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. That verse all by itself, that's an incredible guide for us to filter our thoughts through. And we talked about the one in depth. Whatever is lovely, right? We kind of got a better definition of that, but whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, whatever's excellent, anything is worthy of praise. You think about those things. Because yes, we all possess toxic thoughts in our lives. We all do. And while you live on this earth, you're going to have them. But we need to handle them appropriately. Because we got to stop being toxic hand grenades and landmines to each other, especially here in this church. There ought to be such love and trust and honor. This culture where it looks like the kingdom of heaven. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to become. But today is a new day, right? Brand new day. Sharon started us out reminding us of that. Brand new grace, brand new mercy, brand new love. Everything is brand new here today. Today is the first day, and this isn't a cliche, it's a reality. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So you get to choose now not to allow toxic thoughts into your life. Because God has something better for you. Not to allow those toxic thoughts to jade how you see yourself and how you view other people. Today's a day when we see people, we see circumstances, and we see ourselves the way that God sees us. Today is a day that we begin this. And so let's allow God to do a work in and through our lives to cleanse us, to purify us from all of these toxins, these toxic thoughts that we have had. Allow Jesus to do that. And allow Him to replace those thoughts with good ones. Allow Him to show you who people truly are. Allow Him to show you who you truly are. What He is trying to do through those circumstances. Allow Him to take all that sludge and drudge out of your mind and replace it with good, pure, holy thoughts. So let's just go to the Lord together in prayer. Jesus, first of all, forgive us. Forgive us for being lukewarm. Forgive us for thinking that we're something that we're not. And we are giving you permission, Jesus, this morning, as we live our lives, to point your finger at these toxic thoughts. Bring it to our attention when we have these toxic thoughts towards ourselves or other situations. And help us to replace those with your thoughts, to see things as you see them, to see ourselves as you see them, to see others as you see them. Help us not to be a toxic people wherever we go, but for us to carry the perfume of heaven, for us to be a pleasant people. Wherever we go, we bring not an infection of our toxic waste, but that we bring an invasion of your kingdom. That our lives would be marked with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. That those are the things that exude from our lives. Jesus, we know we can only do it through you. We can't do it on our own. So help us to cleanse our lives of these toxic thoughts, so that you can just be you in and through each of our lives in your name. Amen. So join us next week for Toxic Influences, where we're going to learn how to stop that inflow of toxic thoughts into our brains. All right? God bless and...